I am thankful to be saved. My hope is found in the precious blood of Christ. If I had hope in anything else, I'd be of all men most miserable. But I am thankful there's hope in the blood of Jesus. I love both those songs. I don't think I've ever heard that first song they sang. The story that that water pot tells us. I love the story of the woman at the well. I'm trying not to preach on that. I'm preaching on something else this morning. But she came looking for a drink. And friend, she found something that she'd never tasted of before. I witnessed to a man this week. I've witnessed to him several times. And one other man spoke up. He said, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. I said, I wish that he would, though. I felt like saying, if you would come and taste of the water of life that Jesus Christ could give you, friend, you'd never thirst again. But friend, you'd keep just coming back, not because you're thirsty, but because it tastes so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so, friend, the horse may be here at the well, and I can't make you drink, but I beg you to, because it's good. Would you turn with me, Psalms 87 this morning? Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? Psalms chapter number 87. Psalms chapter number 87. We'll read the entire chapter, all seven verses of this short chapter. I don't know about you, mine has a title given above it. And mine says, Glorious Zion, City of God. This chapter is all about Zion, the city of God. He said his foundation, God's foundation, is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Notice this, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he rideth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. That well of water bubbling up into everlasting life. I want to preach on this thought, glorious things from the city of God. Glorious things in the city of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house today. God, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, I thank you for being so good to us. Lord, you told us in Hebrews that even when we believe not, yet you abide faithful. And God, we thank you, Lord. We ask that you'd visit us today. Lord, not because that you have to. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would for our sakes, God. Not that you need us, but we need you. Lord, we ask that you'd please make your presence known as we preach. God, we pray for authority and power, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. God, we pray if there is one soul here today, Lord, that does not know you as their Savior, God, I pray that they would come before you today in humility and call upon your name and take a drink of that water of everlasting life, the spring that is found in thee. God, we'll praise you for the glorious things that are done here today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing this morning. I want to preach on this thought, glorious things in the city of God. What we have before us this morning in Psalms chapter number 87 is a very short, yet a very powerful, and a very beautiful chapter inside of the book of Psalms. We know that the Psalms is written as a book of devotion, and a book of praise, and a book of song unto the Lord. This, in particular, was a psalm written either by the sons of Korah or for the sons of Korah. This was a psalm that was written to be sung. And there's nothing more beautiful than singing the very word of God. And this song was written as a song of praise towards God. And we find very quickly that this song is all about the subject of Zion or Mount Zion. Now, before we go any farther, it's very important that you know exactly what Zion means. You say, what is Zion about? We hear a lot about Zion in the Bible. The word Zion actually has to do with height, or heights as in hills or mountains. That's why we hear of Mount Zion. Zion has to do with heights. In the Old Testament, the word Zion mainly refers to the city of God, the city of Jerusalem, also known as the city of David. So when we read of Zion many times in the Bible, it is referring unto the city of David, the city of Jerusalem. And so that is the subject of this chapter, the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. The city of David, Jerusalem, was built upon the hills and upon the mountains and the high places inside of the nation of Israel. That's why it's called Zion, because Zion has to do with heights. And Jerusalem was a place built upon the mountains, the holy mountains of Israel. That is why the enemies of Israel, you remember there when Sennacherib in 1 Kings sent messengers unto Israel, and he did not believe that God was a God of the valley. But one thing that their enemies had to admit to was that their God was a God of the hills and a God of the mountains. And they knew that because their temple was there upon the hills and the mountains of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the subject of this chapter. So we see here the subject is Jerusalem. With this in mind, it becomes very evident that the man that wrote this chapter was clearly an Israelite who loved his nation, and more than that, he loved the capital city of his nation. This is a psalm of patriotism. And by the way, I love America. I don't love a lot of the things that are going on in America today. But as David said, I love what this nation was founded upon. It was not founded upon atheism. It was not founded upon Islam. It was not founded upon other religions. It was founded upon the principles of God's word. And friend, we'd do good to get back to that today. But friend, that is the America that I love, the nation that is under God. This was a man who loved his country, a patriot for his country. And you see that how he talks about the capital of his country. But I want you to know that the meaning of this psalm is deeper than patriotism. This man did not just write this song out of patriotism for his country, but he wrote this song out of passion for the Lord his God. This man that wrote this psalm clearly loved the Lord. And friend, may I remind you, when you love the Lord, it is only natural that you love the things that the Lord loves. He knew that God loved Jerusalem, and because God loved Jerusalem, this man also loved Jerusalem. Can I say that still stands today? If you love God, you ought to love the things that God loves. And if you love God, you ought to hate the things that God hates. Is that right or is that wrong? Friend, God still calls sin, sin. And we're not to love sin because God does not love sin. But there are some things that God loves today. And friend, we ought to get on the same page as God and say, God, if you love this, then would you give me a love for this because I love you? This man that wrote this psalm clearly loved God. And because he had a love for God, there is an evident love that he has for the city of God. Can I go ahead and say, friend, we're not in the city of God, but we are in the house of God. And friend, if God loves the house of God, then you and me ought to love the house of God. You say, Revis, why are we here today in the midst of COVID, in the midst of these things going on? Why are we here? Friend, we ought to have caution, but I'll tell you why we're here. Because God loves the house of God. And because he loves the house of God, I love the house of God. Like David, I can say I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Friend, this man loved the city of God because God loved the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. I want you to notice the things that he says about Jerusalem in this chapter. In verse number 1, he says that Jerusalem is the very foundation of God's work upon earth. He said his foundation is in the holy mountains of Jerusalem. In verse number 2, he says that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob or of Israel. What a great thing to be said about that city. In verse number 5, he says about that city that the highest himself, God himself, shall establish her or establish the city of Jerusalem. You know what I find amazing today? After thousands of years that city was founded, it has been resurrected. Even today, there is still a city of Jerusalem. And by the way, we ought to pray for peace in Jerusalem, friend. Even today, in the past few months and years, that has been made their capital. And friend, one day God is still going to reign in that literal place of Jerusalem. He will establish her as he said he would. Friend, there are some great things said about this city of God here, but I want you to notice in verse number 3, what stood out to me the most was whenever he said, "Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." As I began to read this passage, as I began to read that verse, my mind began to go back in history and go back in the Bible, and I began to think and recollect about some things that have happened in that very city. Some glorious things that have happened in that very city. Friend, I'm not an Israelite. I'm just an old Gentile. I have never crossed the Atlantic Ocean, much less have I ever been to the country of Israel. I've never been to the country of Israel, and much less have I ever been to the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of God, Zion. I don't know about you, I've never been there. Maybe some of you have been blessed to go. Maybe one day I can. But I want you to know this. I may never, ever get to see that city of Zion with my eyes physically in this lifetime, but I've heard my whole life about some glorious things that have happened inside of that city. And I want you to know that my life will never be the same because of some glorious things that have happened there inside of that city. And friend, I want to tell you some of those glorious things that have happened inside of that city. You say, what does Jerusalem have to do with me? What does this city have to do with me? Friend, if you believe some glorious things that have happened inside of that city, your life and your eternity will never be the same today. Would you allow me for a few minutes to show you a few things about the city of Jerusalem? Let me show you first, before we go into that, I want you to notice, first of all, as we've said, Jerusalem is a place of God's foundation. You see that in verse 1? He said that his foundation is in the holy mountains. Friend, I want you to know, first of all, that this place in Jerusalem is God's foundation for his work upon the earth. Did you know that God has placed a city to be the very center of his work of redemption and his work of providence upon the earth today? God is a God of all the earth, is he not? God is a God that transcends time and space and matter, is he not? We serve a God that's omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times, is he not? We serve a God that is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. Friend, we serve a God that dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Friend, the earth is his and the fullness thereof. And yet this very same God has a special regard for one place upon the earth. And that place he has chosen to be the center of his work upon the earth. Friend, I want you to just think about that for a minute. In Exodus 9:29, he said that the earth is the Lord's. In Psalms 24, verse 1, he said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Yet God, who owns all things, God, who is everywhere, has chosen a special regard for the city of Jerusalem. Not only has God chose to center his work there, But for many years, there stood a temple inside the city of Jerusalem. And that temple was the temple of God that was established there. Friend, in Acts chapter number 17, there in verse number 24, Paul tells us that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples that are made with what? Hands. And yet, God, who dwelleth not in temples made with hands, still chose to let his presence abide inside of the temple and the Shekinah glory there in Jerusalem. You say, what are you getting at? I find it very amazing that God chose Jerusalem to be the foundation of his work. God doesn't need no center of his work in the earth. God doesn't need a place to reign from. And yet God had a special regard for this city, and he chose to center his work there. I want you to understand that God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He does not have to dwell inside of a box for us to come to him. And yet God had such special regard for that place that they built a temple and his Shekinah glory entered and dwelled and abided inside of that temple. You say, what are you getting at, friend? I find that amazing. Why that God chose to do that? I do not know why, and you don't know either. If you do, I'd like for you to tell me. I don't understand why God would do that, but I can tell you this. I'm so glad that God did do that. You say, why? Because the same God that chose to make his foundation there in Jerusalem, that same God wants to make a foundation for him inside of your heart. Friend, I want you to know, I don't understand why he chose that place to work from and dwell there whenever he's God of all, but I'm glad he did, because there was a day as a seven-year-old boy when I asked Jesus Christ to save me, and the God of all the earth, he that dwelleth not in temples made with hands, chose to take up residence inside of my heart and inside of my life, and the same God that needs no help of any man chose to work through my life and allowed me to work for his glory and in his ministry. And friend, like the city of Jerusalem, I don't understand why he does it. I'm just glad that he does it. Friend, I want you to know today that God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need the work of your hands. But yet God still chooses to allow us to work for him. Not that he needs it, but because he loves us anyway and allows us to live for him. Friend, I'm thankful the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Friend, aren't you thankful to be saved today? Friend, can I say this? You say, how could God of all the universe dwell inside of such a little person as you and me? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. If he lives on the inside, he should be popping out all over. Friend, if he lives in you, he should be popping out all over. Some glorious things should be said about your life, because God chooses to dwell within you. I find that his foundation was built in the city of Jerusalem. God chose that place. Why he did, I don't know, but he chose to work there. Friend, I want you to notice this. It says his foundation is in the what? The holy mountains. I want you to understand, God does not dwell there in those mountains because they're holy. They are holy because God dwells there. Friend, God didn't come into your life. He does not dwell in your heart because you're holy. But friend, you can be made holy if you'll let Jesus live on the inside. Friend, God doesn't choose to save us for our works, but we can work for him if he saves us and you allow him to live on the inside of you. I want you to notice there is God's foundation inside of this city. I want you to notice number two in verse two. I find not only God's foundation, but I find God's affection for this city. Here's something that baffles me even more than the first verse. I don't understand why God would choose to work inside of that city. I don't understand why God would choose to put his work there. But what I cannot understand even more than that is why God would choose to love of the gates of that city. Not only does he choose to work there, but he chooses to love that place. Not only does he love it, he loves it more than all the dwellings of Jacob, all the territories of Israel. He said, I love my country, but you know what I love even more than all of my country? I love the gates of Zion. I begin to wonder, why would God love that place so much? Why would God love that place so much? I'll tell you this. In my eyes, there really wasn't much to love about that place, Jerusalem. Did you know that Jerusalem, it was there in Matthew chapter number 23, that Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that I have sent unto thee. Why would God love that place more than all the territories of Jacob? The place that killed every prophet that he sent unto them. Not only this, friend, they killed his son. It was in that city that Jesus was killed. And I begin to wonder, why would God love that place knowing what they would do to him? Is this ringing a bell in your heart today? Friend, I realize there in the book of Revelation, it says, it calls that place Jerusalem. It says spiritually, that which is Sodom and Egypt. Spiritually, that's how Jerusalem was. And yet God still said in all of his love, he said, God has loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Friend, I want you to know that baffles me. I cannot tell you why that God would choose to love that place so much, especially in spite of all they've done. But friend, as I began to read that, I began to see myself there in that text. Friend, I've done worse than those of Jerusalem. Friend, I want you to know that it was my sins that put Jesus on that cross, and it was my sins that made him die for me. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves me, and he loves you in spite of what we've done, in spite of knowing what we will do against him. God still chooses to love us. I don't know about you, but I feel the love of God in my heart, and I feel that he loves me more than anybody else. But friend, I want you to know that he loves you more than anybody else. There is a love, a singular love that God has, an individual love for you, and it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter where you've been, God wants to save you. You say, why would God love me? I don't have the slightest clue, but I want you to know that he does love you, and he wants to save you. Friend, he loved that place more than all the other places, and he loves you more than anything. Look right up here. Do you know God loves you? Do you know God wants to work inside of your heart? Do you know God loves you in spite of you and me? You know what I find that's interesting? He loves all the dwellings of Jacob, but he especially loved that place. You know why? Because that's where his house was. That's where God's house was. I don't know about you, but I love America, but I especially love Tennessee. I'm especially partial to my state. And friend, I love Tennessee, but I tell you what, I really love my house. That's the place where I love the most and where I want to be the most. And you know what? It was the job of the Israelites every year to come unto the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because that was the place that God loved the most, inside the gates of Zion. Friend, you say, why do we even come to church? I can worship God from my home. I can worship God from my boat. Friend, I can worship God in a tree stand. I want you to know, thank God, we can worship him anywhere. And God loves to be praised, and he loves to be worshiped. But I want you to know that he loves his house, and he loves being worshiped in this place more than any other place. And friend, just as they made the trip to Jerusalem because God loved it, we ought to make a trip to the house of God because God loves this place above all the territories of this land. Friend, this is God's house when we gather together here. And friend, why he'd love us, I don't know. Why he'd love my sinful heart, I don't know. I'm just glad that he does. I'm glad he loves me and you just as he loved Jerusalem. I want you to notice, I find God's foundation was in this place. He chose to center his work there, and I don't understand why he would, but he did. God's affection was for this place. He loved this place, and I don't understand why he did, but I'm glad he did. And then I also find God's distinction in this place. In verse number 3, he said, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I began to think, wow, God chose to let his glory be manifested there. There was a lot of great things that could be said about that city. Friend, God chose to work there when he didn't have to. God chose to love them when he didn't have to. And God chose to let his glory be shown there when he didn't have to. Friend, I don't know about you, but that reminds me of my life. I can take you back in the short years that I've had upon this earth, and I can tell you of some great and glorious things that God has done in my life. Friend, God did not have to do that, but I'm glad that he did that. Friend, I have some glorious things to tell the world about today. Nothing that I've done, but everything that Christ has done. Nothing that I am, but everything that Christ is and was and will be in my life. I am thankful for the glory of God. This church has had some glorious things done here. In the past 100 years of this church, we could go back. I think about that song, If Church Pews Could Shout. Friend, the glorious things that have happened here in that building right over there. The souls that have been saved. The lives that have been changed. Things that have been done. The glory of God that's been revealed. I don't know about you, but I want the glory to keep going. I want to go from glory unto greater glory. Friend, I want the Lord to manifest himself here. But friend, there were some glorious things of this city. Let me just give you a few things and we'll be done. I begin to think about the history of Jerusalem. Before Jerusalem was ever even established as the capital of Israel, there in Genesis chapter number 15, we learn of a man by the name of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest and he was a king. And the place where he reigned was the place called Salem, which means peace. And that place came to be known as Jerusalem. And friend, that man served God there. And Abraham tithed unto them there. And friend, we know that Christ came after the order of Melchizedek. There was a man there before it was ever established in Israel that served God there. That was a glorious thing. I think about later on after Melchizedek, there was a time in Abraham's life when God gave him a son by the name of Isaac. And there in Genesis chapter number 22, God came unto Abraham. And Abraham said, "Here am I, Lord." And he said, "I want you to take thine son, thine only son, and I want you to offer him up unto me." And you know where he took his son? He took him to a mount. It came to be known as Mount Moriah. And that same hill came to be a part of the city of Jerusalem. You may know the story. Abraham took his son Isaac, his only son. And as they began to march up that mountain, Isaac looked at his father and said, "Where is the sacrifice? We have the wood, we have the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" You remember what Abraham said? "God will provide himself a lamb." And friend, God was testing the faith of Abraham. And as there, Abraham put his son down on that altar. And I personally believe that Abraham believed that God would resurrect his son. And friend, Abraham was willing to give it all up for God. And the angel of the Lord stopped him there and said, "Whoa." He said, "Now I know that thou would give up your only son." And God began to bless him there. And God provided a sacrifice for him. And it was there that God blessed him and said, "Your seed will be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky." That was a glorious story there. Friend, God doesn't want everything in our life, but he wants our willingness to give it up for him. Is that right or is that wrong? Friend, God wants a living sacrifice, but he didn't ask us to die. Friend, he gave his life for us. He provided himself a lamb. That was a glorious thing there. There in the book of 2 Samuel, later on, we find that David became king of Israel. And that's when Jerusalem officially became the capital of Israel. There was actually some enemies there in that stronghold. That place was held by the enemy. It was a citadel. It was a fortress on a mount. And David said, we're going to take this place. The enemy's there. It says that the lame and the blind guarded the edges of that city. You say, what does that mean? I believe that it was their idols around the edges of that city. And they said, our lame and our blind can defeat your men. And David said, that's it. We're taking this place in the name of the Lord. And friend, they defeated the lame and the blind of that city. And they went and conquered that place. By the way, friend, I serve a God, the one true living God. And there is no weapon formed in hell that can stand against him. And friend, there on that day, God gave David the victory. And that place became the capital of Israel. That was a glorious thing, wasn't it? God allowed David to reign there. I think about later on, after David, Solomon reigned there in Jerusalem, and that's when they built the temple. You know where it was built? It was built there near Mount Moriah. That same mount that Abraham was going to offer up Isaac on, there was a temple there. And that temple was built in all the richness of Israel and all the richness that God had gave them. It was a glorious thing. You remember when the Queen of Sheba came up from the south and she said, I've heard great things, but to see it is like something I've never seen before. There was a glorious thing there that took place. But friend, there's something that took place there in that city that means more to me, more than anything else that's ever happened. Friend, I'm thankful for the history of Israel. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when God provided himself a lamb for Abraham. I would have loved to go inside the gates of that temple. I would have loved to experience the Shekinah glory there. That would have been a great thing, but you know what? That really would not have changed my life today, and it would not have changed yours. But friend, I want you to know there was something that took place there. Whenever I heard about it, my life was never the same. Friend, there came one to this earth, one that was born of a virgin. He said, I am a greater than Solomon. He said, I am a greater than Jonah. Friend, I want you to know that before Abraham was, he said, I am. I want you to know that David was the offspring from this man, and yet this man was the root of David. I want you to know there came a man by the name of Jesus Christ into this world, and he came not just to save the house of Israel, but he came to save all the sinners that would come unto him in faith. And I want you to know that he went into Jerusalem there. There was some glorious things he did there in his life. There was a day when he made whips and he went into the temple and he drove out the money changers there. There was a day there when he preached there and did miracles there. But the most glorious thing that ever happened in the city of Jerusalem was the day that my Savior hung, and the day that my Savior bled, and the day that my Savior died, and the day that my Savior made a sacrifice for my sins and for your sins. There's been a lot of things done in that city, but that will be the greatest thing that's ever been done there. The day when God made himself a lamb and provided a living sacrifice to be given for your sin and for my sin. That is why God could love that place even when they're unlovable. That's why God would choose to work there even when he didn't need to. Friend, the same reason why he did that is why he died for you, because he loved us when we were unlovable. Is anybody awake this morning? I'm telling you, we serve a Savior who loves us. Look at me. Are you saved this morning? Jesus died for you in the city of God. Friend, my life will never be the same because of it. I've never seen it, but I've heard all about it, and my life will never be the same. He died there. I want you to know there was something else glorious that happened in Jerusalem. Friend, he hung and bled and died on a cross, and the devil thought that he had won the victory. But I want you to know that after 3 days inside of that tomb, I want you to know that the body of Christ never began to stink. I want you to know that the body of Christ never began to be defiled. I want you to know that the body of Christ never began to decay. It never saw corruption because it was filled with perfect blood and sinless flesh. And there was a day on that third day, that Sunday morning, that the Spirit of life entered into that man. And Jesus Christ got up from that tomb and he walked out of that tomb. And friend, the stone was rolled away, not so that he could get out, but so that you you could get in. I serve a risen Savior. I want you to know it was there in Jerusalem, not only that, that he rose again, but there he ascended up on high unto our God so that he might prepare a place for you. I want you to know that he is coming back. I want you to know not only this, but it was there in Jerusalem that God began to reach out. Not only did he reach down, but he began to reach out. It was there in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came down in cloven tongues of fire. And it was there that the church was birthed. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. You, friend, your life would never be the same if not for that city. If not for the glorious things that was done there. I love this church, but somewhere along the way, we can trace our spiritual lineage all the way back to the city of Jerusalem. He said, I want you to go. I want you to preach in Jerusalem first, then in Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. Go, he said. Friend, it started in Jerusalem. I want you to know there is coming some glorious things still yet there. I want you to know that place was a place of God's redemption. But I want you to know that that is a place where God will reign. I want you to know that there's coming a day. I do not know when, but I do know it is coming soon. When Jesus Christ is going to come again. He's going to rapture us up, and then he's going to come back with us. And there his feet will stand on Mount Olivet, there by the city of Jerusalem. It is there that it will cleave in the midst. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ will reign in the city of David, in the city of Jerusalem. There is still yet glorious things to happen there. And friend, if you don't come to Christ, you'll not be a part of anything else that will happen there. Friend, some distinctions in this city. I want you to see, not only in verse 1, I see God's foundation was in this city. In verse 2, I see God's affection was for this city. In verse 3, I see God's distinction in this city. But then in verse number 4 and 5, I find God's invitation in this city. You say, how can I be a part of this city? I was never born there. I'm not an Israelite. Friend, I want you to know that God made a way for you and I to be made a part of the family of God. Friend, you and I one day, through the blood of Christ, can be counted just the same as one of those that was born in Zion. Notice what he says in verse 4. He said, I will make mention of Rahab, which has to do with Egypt. And who? Babylon. Then he mentions Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia. And he said, this man was born there. Now, the wording of this can be hard to understand, but what he's saying here, he's actually extending an invitation. He is extending an invitation to Babylon, to Tyre, to Philistia, to Egypt, to Ethiopia. He said, you all can be counted as one of them that was born in Zion. Look in verse number 5 there after that. He said, it shall be said in Zion, this and that man was born there. In other words, this man and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Friend, this was an Israelite proud of his country. He was proud of this city. But he said, you know what? I want other people to get in on it. He said, I'm going to tell Babylon. I'm going to tell Ethiopia. I'll tell all the nations surrounding it. You know what? You can be counted as one of the same. You know what I find interesting about that? Some of those nations were enemies of Israel. Babylon and Philistia and also Egypt were all enemies of Israel. He said, you know what? You enemies, you can actually be counted as one of our own if you'll come unto God in grace and in humility. Friend, I want you to know, you may be in here and you may hate God. You may hate everything that has to do with his house. I want you to know that God loves you. And I want you to know that you may hate God with a hatred that you have never known before, but I want you to know that God still wants you to be counted as one of his own. And I want you to know that you may hate God, but Christ died for you while we were yet sinners. God commendeth his love toward us. You can be counted. Not only were there enemies of God there, but I want you to notice there were people in Tyre. Tyre was a nation that wasn't necessarily an enemy, of Israel. They were sort of allies, but they just didn't have to do with their gods. They were a nation of godless luxury. I want you to, maybe you're here today and you're not an enemy of God. Maybe you're acquainted with the church. Maybe you know about Jesus. You're just living a godless life. You think you're not hurting anybody. Friend, I want you to know that God loves you and Christ died for you and Christ wants you to be part of his family as of those born in Zion. Friend, I want you to know that being a good person is not good enough to get you to heaven. And friend, you need Christ and Christ loves you. Not only are there enemies there, not only are there those that are in godless luxury, but then those that are distant. Ethiopia was a distant nation. They didn't have much to do with them at all. They didn't really, weren't really against them. They just weren't for them. They were distant. Maybe you're here today and you're not an enemy of the church. Maybe you're not a friend of the church or God. You're just distant from God. I want you to know that Christ has made a way for you to be brought nigh by the blood of Christ. And you today can be counted as one of his own in his family. I want you to know that Christ's work of redemption was in this city. Christ's work of reigning will be in this city. But Christ's work of recording will be in this city. Look in verse number 6. He says there that the Lord shall what? Count. When he writeth, when he recordeth the people, that this man was born there. He said, I want you to know, when God, when the roll is called up yonder, when God gives the great census of heaven, he'll be able to look down in his book and he'll find my name there and say, this man was born there. I want you to know that I'm not a physical member of the city of Zion, but spiritually I am a citizen of heaven. And there's coming a day when I stand before God. I will not stand upon my own merits, upon my own works, upon anything that I've done, but I will stand on the blood of Jesus Christ. And I will know that my name is written there. This man was born here. Have you been born again into the family of God? When God takes the great census of heaven, will your name be found there? Great recording takes place. Verse 7, and I'm done. You know what I love? He ends this chapter in praise. He said, all my springs are in thee. Boy, he didn't even know what he was talking about, all the depths of the riches of that verse. Friend, I want you to know the most glorious thing, when Christ died on that cross, there was a spring that was opened up there. It was a spring filled with the blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, any man that will come to that spring of water never thirst again. I want you to know that all my springs are found in Christ. We see God's invitation. We see God's foundation, God's affection, God's distinction in this city. Then we find God's invitation in this city. Come, be a part. You know, the gospel is all exclusive because it only comes by one man, Jesus Christ. But yet the gospel is all inclusive because any man can come to Christ and be saved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I don't know about you, I'm just thankful to be saved. Are you saved this morning? You see, Revis, you've preached a lot of salvation messages. To hear. Maybe you need to hear. Maybe you're here today as they're making their way forward to play us a song of invitation. Maybe you'd just like to, while nobody's looking, nobody's stirring around, maybe you'd like to raise up your hand and say, Revis, pray for me. I've never been saved. Is there anybody like that? Maybe you're here and you say, Revis, I've been saved. Maybe you don't have to raise your hand. Maybe you just want to make your way forward during this invitation. I say, I just want to thank God that he's made me a part of his family. I want to thank God for giving his life for me. Would there be one as they begin to play? Friend, we have a job to go, just as Brother David taught this morning. There's a world that needs to hear the glorious things in the city of God. Are you willing to tell them of it? God loves you in spite of you. God wants to work in your life and fight that He doesn't need you. Are you willing to let Him work as He did in Jerusalem? One's praying. Maybe others would like to pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your blessed word. Lord, would you touch us and help us? Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing to work in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us. Thank you for giving your glory to be manifested here today. Lord, we're looking for day, but I'll be in the new Jerusalem. And we'll be, if you're saved, we'll be a part of that city that floats above the city of Jerusalem. Friend, you say, I don't understand all that. Come to Wednesday nights and learn from Revelation. We'll talk about that here in a few weeks. You know, that's I've enjoyed that, and I hope that you can come. And we're thankful to be saved this morning. And, we're just thankful to be here. Please join us tonight, 6 o'clock, 5:30. We'll be having our men's meeting. We'll have some, no doubt, probably some new business to tend to. And so you come for that. And we'll still try and make some time to pray as well. And then we'll be excited. I think we have a treat tonight, and we're excited. And I was thinking about not saying it, but I'm going to go ahead and announce that Brother Marcus is going to preach for us tonight. And so we're excited for that. And so you come and support him as he preaches. And Brother Ronnie, he's just itching to go, and he's going to be teaching Sunday school for us this coming Sunday, and there is no crippled leg can keep Brother Ronnie back, and we praise the Lord for that. We're excited to hear him. And any announcements need to be made before we dismiss? Anything? All right. Brother James, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, for somebody here,